Ken, there's that music that makes people wish that somebody had got a haircut but missed, lopped off the ear rolls.
Special episode.
It is a special episode.
Attention, and everyone.
Why are you naked?
Yes, he should be naked.
Are you, Punjab, we told you that.
I don't take it for nobody.
It's against his religion.
I'm not really keen on seeing it anymore.
Oh, I'm sick of seeing yours.
Well,
why is it so big? He looked like Dumbo.
It is big. Those of you who aren't aware, Ken does have a ridiculously large dick. Ken's dick is so big, Gudinski takes its calls. His dick is so big, when you have to queue outside inflation, his dick gets to go straight in and he has to wait outside. His dick is so big, it's got its own dick. And the final one. I got one more. Ken's dick is so big, it disassociated himself from him and began the Republic of Ken's Dick.
Great. Years ago, that would have done me great stead.
It's got its own postcode. It's big, I tell you.
These days. It's exclusive these days to Vicky Hot Chicky.
Vicky Hot Chicky.
How's Jenny, one of many, going?
She's great. She's great.
That's good.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Does she know that you're here nuding up?
She does not know I'm naked.
We're both sitting here nude.
Mm.
We've got the heater on 21. Mm. Well, I have. I don't know what your heater's on.
My heater's on 22.
Black. You win.
Mm.
And as I said last week, this is going to be our true crimes episode because we need to get more ratings so we can get a sponsor.
This will do it.
True crimes are the go.
Goes off like a frog in a sock.
Yep. Yeah. I love that saying.
Mm.
That frog in a sock and rat with a gold tooth. I love that.
Okay.
All right. So, there's another thing I want to ask you, what you think about this.
Mm.
Now,
mm.
We can't get Tony Katz in here.
No.
But? I know how to get him on the phone.
I know you know, but he doesn't know.
Normal phone calls. You can't do through this system.
No.
But you can do Zoom.
Okay.
So I'm going to do it now. I'll send him an invitation and we'll see if he figures out how to do it. I don't think he will.
What if he's on a job for Hillside Air Conditioning?
Well, he's got to nude up for a start.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I'll send him the invite. If he happens to figure out how to do it, which I doubt very much, we'll get him online.
All right. And in the meantime, what band are we doing today?
All right. Now, today, I thought because it's a crime episode, there's a couple of things we could do. Number one, I'm going to tell you about the 7 most criminal musicians or certainly the most eccentric.
The 7 deadly sins.
Yeah, yes. And then we'll finish up with The Clash because they were no choir boys themselves.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
So here we go.
All right then.
Barry White.
Barry White.
Who
was black.
Yes.
So he's already a liar.
Yeah.
So his testimony does not hold water.
Yes. So 17-year-old Barry White stole $40,000 in Cadillac tires.
It's a lot of tires if you don't own a Cadillac.
Yeah. And served 4 months in jail. Reportedly, he heard Elvis's It's Now or Never and was inspired to straighten up and focus on music.
Mm.
Thoughts?
Well, I don't know where you'd put all them. Where did he put them when he went into jail?
The tyres?
Mm.
I think they might have been reprimanded, the tyres.
Reprimanded?
Yes.
So somebody told off the tyres.
Naughty tyres.
Bad tyre.
What's the word I'm looking for?
I really don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
Okay.
Let's move on.
All right. Johnny Cash. Learned nothing there.
Johnny Cash.
Got done for passing fraudulent checks, ironically.
Was never actually arrested for it, but he started a forest fire when his truck caught on fire and destroyed over 500 acres of land and killed 49 condors, an endangered species.
Mm.
The US government sued him who said he didn't care a damn about those yellow buzzards. Hmm. The case was eventually settled and Cash paid $82,000.
Didn't he go to Folsom Prison?
I'm there in Folsom.
Yeah, he went in to sing his blues.
Oh, he didn't get convicted.
He
got booked.
I think he might have been in jail at one stage. But no, it doesn't mention that here.
Was he in D sharp division?
Bob Dylan?
Hurricane.
Yeah, he was arrested on the July. Now, this is a funny story. Arrested on July the 23rd.
Yes.
After a resident called the police and told them that an eccentric looking old man had made his way into their yard and had taken a for sale sign.
You know how much they sell for those for sale signs? Whatever's written on them.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
The police found him when he was on tour with Willie Nelson and Mellencamp, John Mellencamp. They failed to recognise him.
Oh, Willie Nelson might have been in the Travelling Wilburys as well.
No, he wasn't.
All right, then.
They may have asked him.
Could
have. They could have asked a lot of people as far as I know. I'll look that up. I'm sure they did ask other people.
He considered it. He said, sometimes I wonder.
Go yes. On. They failed to recognise Dylan, told him because he had no ID. They drove him
it
back
says
to
says your name is Mr. Tambourine Man.
Yes.
You sure about
they drove him back to his hotel to get his ID. A police sergeant who met the pair at the hotel looked into the back seat and said, "That's not Bob Dylan." So at this stage he's getting arrested.
Okay.
For being a stalker to himself.
Stalking himself.
Yes.
That's hard to do.
It is. It's just a lot of going around.
A lot of travel.
Yes. Fortunately, an oversized tour bus was in the parking lot and they said, "That is Bob Dylan." His passport was recovered, shown to the police to prove that the strange man walking around in the rain was, in fact, Bob Dylan.
Please don't arrest me if you find me walking in the rain.
Yes. Is there any more? Is that it?
It's a whole song.
Good. Let's go.
What do you mean, let's go?
Okay. I'm trying to get in touch with Tony Katz here.
How's that going?
It's not going well because it keeps asking me to do
steel's something. Steel's sharpened as steel here. You, who can't wake at work, is trying to ring someone who has no chance of making Zoom work.
Tony Ruff. Tony Katz, here we go.
Tony Katz, here we go.
All right, I've just sent him an invite.
And what did he say?
Well, he doesn't know.
Screw you, he said. No. I'm going to the party.
So we're ready. Zoom is going.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for him to get back in touch.
Okay, folks.
If he can
buckle up, but bring food. This could take a while.
If he can figure it out, which I doubt very much that he will be able to. All right. All right, here we go. Ozzy Osbourne has done crazy stuff, including biting off the head of a bat.
Who would do that?
Ozzy Osbourne.
But why? What did the bat do to him?
I don't know.
That's mean. I don't like people hurting animals.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
And yet you're promoting it like it's some sort of funny thing.
No.
Oh, you're a disgrace.
No.
You're a disgrace to women worldwide.
Fuck women. What happened to the bat?
Fuck the bat. You. Anyway.
In 1982.
The bat and the condors.
Yes, that's right. Osbourne reportedly clothed in one of his wife's dress, urinated on the.
Okay, wait a minute. His wife's dress.
Dress.
Oh, dress.
Not stress.
He wore one of his wife's dresses.
And urinated on the Alamo.
Urinated on the Alamo?
Yes.
How did an Englishman get to the Alamo?
Well, he was in America. He was in Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah, I was in Texas.
Were you?
With Tony Katz.
Oh, in the band.
Yeah.
Yes, because you've never been to America. Mm-hmm. Land of opportunity.
I was going, but COVID's
ruined quite a few things.
Yeah. So he was charged with...
Strainer flu. Yes.
Public intoxication.
Who?
Ozzy. And banned from San Antonio for 10 years.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
They should have given you that sentence. You would have thumbed your nose.
I would have. That's right. I would have said, I don't want to come here anymore. Jimmy Morrison.
James. The trumpeter?
No, from The Doors.
Oh, Jim Morrison.
The Lizard King.
Really?
Yeah, that's his nickname.
Do the lizards know that?
They're not happy about it.
You can't vote for that.
No. He attempted and failed to incite a riot in Memphis when he exposed his penis on stage.
Why would that cause a riot?
I don't know.
Why would you go, okay, I'm going to cause a riot here in Memphis, by whacking me donger out. What sort of riot? What do you want to put your dick away? When do you want it? Please, soon.
Apparently that's how the Black Lives Matter riot started.
Yeah.
White men were going, why can't we be that big?
Yeah.
Except me.
You know, in the old days, the Olympic races were all in the nude, speaking of us being in the nude today, which is why no black men ever won the hurdles. You can look that up. Not one.
Do you know when I was 8 years old, maybe, let's go a bit younger.
I would have been one.
You're not that much younger than me.
How much are you older than me?
2.
You're 2 years older than me. No, you're not.
Well, we don't want to say our age, do we?
I don't know. How old are you?
64.
Oh, you're way older than me.
How old are you?
Oh, I can't
remember. I went to your 60th a couple of years ago.
I don't think you did because I haven't had it.
Oh. What are we doing this year? When is it?
This year?
Is it this year?
No.
Next year? Come on, you're not that young.
I am. You'd be surprised.
I would be surprised.
I'm a child of the 60s.
Are you?
Mm.
Are you really? Mm. What year were you born?
I can't give you that.
All right. So what are we going to do on your big 60th? Marty, every 10 years, throws the best
parties. Every 5 years, as a matter of fact.
Every 5 years, and I've been to them.
Mm.
Fantastic. Well, what's coming up?
I don't know. I had plans. Like we've done where we rented the whole park out and put an amusement park in it. Did you come to that one?
Yes.
That was fun. Then we went to the golf party
and
the maze party.
Yes.
And then we had Marty's ping pong party.
The ping pong party was great.
I won my own tournament.
Yeah, I think that was ripped.
That was weird. And then, of course, I did the croquet club where I booked the clown, the oldest clown in Australia, to work at my croquet club. And you had to do a gig and didn't make it.
Unfortunately, I missed it.
I had Sparkles.
Did you really? Sparkles.
The clown.
Perry.
Yeah.
Wow.
80.
I bet.
Yeah.
Was she funny? Did people
get the... It was funny.
Did people get the irony?
Well, I don't know if they did. I did. I loved it.
Marty, for my 50th, wanted to hire a Japanese DJ that only played Japanese music.
Mm.
And Vicky Hot Chicky poo-pooed you.
I often get poo-pooed. But my event ideas, they're not bad. Like, that would have been awesome.
That would have been terrible. You gave me a...
But that's the point.
A balloon man.
Please say it.
Balloon.
Thank you.
Balloon man.
Balloon man.
Remember he came and put all the balloon tricks?
Yes, I know.
I didn't like that. Took an hour out of my life.
What do you mean you didn't like it?
But if he'd done it to you, I would have liked it.
He did it for everybody. It's not all about you. Everyone was watching. You think everyone went and sat in the car park while he just you and he balloons for an hour? No, we watched it. It was entertainment.
Sean O'Kelly was taking notes.
It was the Vegas of balloons.
It was a big balloon day.
No, it was. It was amazing.
Now.
Yeah?
Have I got more for you? Yes, Max Collins.
Breeder's Palace, Jim. It was.
Morrison. Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry. Named after the fact he used to vomit all the time.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Chuck Berry.
It's actually a flavour of jam.
Is it really?
Raspberry, strawberry, chuckberry. You can get it. Doesn't spread well.
No.
Especially if you get the head.
Chuck Berry has stolen cars being charged.
Sounds delicious though, doesn't it?
Yes, it does actually.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
What kind of donuts? We have chuckberry.
Yeah, that's nice actually.
Well, be-ba-ba-looba.
He's been charged with armed robbery, even transporting a 14-year-old girl across the line for immoral purposes, which he did go to jail for.
What did he do with her?
Oh, he had ideas, Chucky. Chuck Berry, I don't know if there's a word for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you'll tell me. He likes girls to defecate on him.
Oh, yeah. Don Lena.
Yes. I love those stories.
Mm. It's called Don Laneating.
Yeah. I love that. And sometimes involving a seafood coffee table.
Yes, a glass table. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Because you don't want poo-poo on you.
No, but I think Chuck did.
He liked it?
Yeah. There was no table for him.
Mm.
In 1990, several women sued him, claiming he had videotaped them in the bathroom of a restaurant he owned in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
It apparently cost him $1.2 million plus legal fees to reach a settlement.
That's a lot of toilet paper.
Yeah. During a house raid, police did find footage of women using the bathroom as well as a considerable amount of marijuana.
They were using the bathroom and marijuana.
No, he was on the marijuana.
Yes.
And to avoid that and child abuse charges,
yes,
he pleaded guilty to one misdemeanor count of marijuana possession.
That's a fair trade-off.
Yeah, that's a...
That's a good deal.
Jeez,
he must have had a good lawyer.
Yes.
He must have had Vinnie Bumba.
Yes.
He's some lawyer, that guy. Dr. Vinnie Bumba.
Just reminded me.
Okay.
Vicky...
How's Tony going on the Zoom call, by the way?
Nothing yet.
Got nothing.
No. Vicky Hotchicky.
Yes.
Used to work for Telstra. She was in management there, right?
Really?
Yeah. But before she went to management, she worked for... And I just got to tell you this because you'll love this. She worked for Mooli Ganguly.
Mooli Ganguly?
Yes.
Did she answer the phone?
Yes.
What a great...
Mooli Ganguly's office.
Mooli Ganguly. I always thought it fun because my grandparents' solicitors were called Kittle Briggs and Willicks.
And say it again.
Kittle Briggs and Willicks. Kittle Briggs and Willicks. And I used to listen on the phone when my grandfather called them and the lady would say, "Thank you for calling Kittle Briggs and Willicks."
That's a great name. It's really good.
My uncle, his lawyers were Wilson, Wilson and Wilson. In Wollongong.
Hunger, Wilson. Hunger, hunger,
Wilson, Wilson and Wilson. Hello?
Wilson, Wilson and Wilson. Can I help you?
Yeah. Can I speak to Mr. Wilson? I'm sorry, he's not available. Okay, I'll speak to Mr. Wilson then. I'm sorry, he's out of lunch. Okay, how about Mr. Wilson?
Speaking.
That's great. Oh, that's great. Boy George, want to hear what he did?
He went into a public toilet.
Yeah.
And stole Chuck Berry's woman.
No, he was caught in lots of public toilets with boys.
Yes. Yes. What better place?
But he was charged with... He invited...
I was in a public toilet and got in some trouble because I had no toilet paper.
Yeah.
And you don't look. If you're in a hurry, you just run out of the cubicle and kaboom,
of course.
Bombs away.
Yeah.
But then there's no toilet paper.
No.
There's a guy next to me in the next cubicle.
Yes.
I said, "Have you got any toilet paper?" He said, "No." I said, "Oh. Have you got like a tissue or something?" He said, "No." I said, "How about a handkerchief? I'll buy you a handkerchief." He said, "No." I said, "All right. Have you got 2 fives for a 10?
All right. Boy George was charged for false imprisonment of Auden Carlson, a Norwegian escort who said that Boy George invited him home to pose for photos.
To pose for photos? Pose for photos.
No, that's Chuck Berry. Then he was told, Boy George said to him he was going to get what he deserved, and the singer brandished whips and other sex objects.
How come a whip is a sex object?
Well, in Boy George's case, yes.
Do you know why a whip cracks? It's breaking the sound barrier.
Is that correct?
It's absolutely true.
Wow.
I'll give you another mind-blowing
fact. Please do.
You know when you pop a balloon?
Yeah.
Just for me, say balloon. Mm-hmm. Say it.
Balloon.
Good boy. What do you think makes the big bang noise?
The expansion. No, not the expansion. The loss of oxygen against hydrochloride.
Mate. The what?
I don't know. Go on, tell me.
It's the speed of the rubber contracting is greater than the speed of sound, and it causes a mini sonic boom. That is what the bang is when you pop a balloon.
Is this the Big Bang Theory?
No, it's a Big Bang fact.
Okay. I can hear little Sean O'Kelly scribbling that down.
Why?
Because he's in balloons. He's the king.
Say it again.
Balloons. I really tried hard to say it right then. He's the king of balloons in Victoria.
Do the balloon people know this?
Yes.
You know the worst part about that business?
What?
Inflation.
Oh. Okay, so that's it. That's
the bubble has burst.
That's who I've got.
That's all you got.
No, hang on. No, the guy that Boy George tied up, etc. He said he got out after wrenching a hook out of the wall. So Boy George must have
put him on the wall.
Yeah, hung him up.
Yeah,
like we do with Tony Katz for a joke.
What are you doing, boy? Oh, I'm just hanging out.
Yeah. So that's Boy George.
We shouldn't have done that with Tony Katz.
What? Hang him up?
No, that was very mean.
No, the mean bit was leaving him.
Yeah. For a week.
Yes.
With nothing to eat except ukuleles, which is why he orders them all the time now. He's addicted.
Now, let me check.
What about that edible underwear? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
You can buy that?
Yeah.
In different flavours? Have you tried it? It's good.
Yes.
It's good before they put it on, but it's good. Like, I'll go to the sex shop and buy, like, 4 pairs for my wife, but I'll buy 2 extra to eat in the car on the way home because you can't resist.
Is it cheaper than McDonald's?
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to text him now to say,
dear Tony, thank you for your contribution. You've started the show without even being aware of it. Regards, Kittle Briggs and Willicks.
Can you
please look at your Zoom app on the phone?
Yeah. On Zoom. Now.
You have got more chance of playing pickup sticks with your ass cheeks than getting him to work Zoom on his own.
I can't wait.
This is the guy that hired a bloke to come over and fix his remote.
Yeah. $100 it cost him.
$100 to get a man to come and push one button.
No, not to fix
button.
The remote, to put the subtitles on. No, to put them off. He had them on because he hit the subtitle button. So the guy hit the button and goes, that'll be $100.
I did the same thing. Well, I must say I didn't do it. Somebody in our house, Jenny, bumped a button on the Foxtel remote, which caused the subtitles to come up.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to get rid of them. So guess what I did?
Bought a new TV.
No, but that would have been good too.
Yeah.
I simply Googled, how do I get rid of subtitles on Foxtel?
Exactly.
The answer, push the yellow button in brackets, you idiot, close brackets. Push it, gone.
Well, I would be the opposite because I need subtitles because of my hearing loss due to...
What are you going
to
do when you can't see anything?
When I can't see you.
Or anything?
No, I'll always be able to see them.
Why do blind people have subtitles? They probably don't.
No, they don't have bumps on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
But they can only watch one movie once.
The guy in front of me in a car in traffic the other day, he was blind. Which was, you know, like I was impressed at his balls for even getting out there.
Yes.
But his number plate was in Braille. Right? And he had a sticker beside it, also in Braille. On the back of his car. Guess what it said? What? If you can read this, you're too close. Oh, it's all funny.
Not too funny!
I saw
my uncle blind.
Sorry.
No, your uncle puts up blinds.
Same difference. Why are you pointing down like that? You're a very, very picky man. I kill you.
I saw the special on We Are the World the other day.
We are the world. And who produced that?
Quincy Jones.
Weird name.
Q. They call him Q.
Quincy.
Quincy. I think there's, if you give your kid...
What do you think Quincy's short for?
I don't think it's short for anything.
Quince-a-lot.
Quinston?
Quinston Churchill.
I think if you give your kid a weird name...
Quinzo.
There's a great chance, if one of the Marx Brothers, Quinzo, there's a good chance...
I thought it was a washing detergent.
There would be a good chance that child will go into show business and be successful because you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Elvis...
Indeed.
You don't hear Elvis. That's not a name that you hear all over
Not so much.
No.
Jesus.
Good one.
A lot of movies.
Yes.
A lot of films.
Did well.
Speaking of which, your son and Jesus, you never see them in the same room.
No.
Let me tell you, your son looks like the Son of God.
My son?
Your son.
My son looks like...
Meaning that you are... wouldn't kill you to put a white beard on. I'm not kidding, because your son seriously looks like Jesus.
He looks like...
Why has he got
No, you know who looks like? Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters.
That's kind of what you hope he looks like. But just as a person who hasn't seen him for a while, with the robes he was wearing, he's wearing robes and sandals and the beard and the hair, that dude... is the star of the second half of the Bible. Trust me.
To you, are you feeling a bit cold now? Do you wish you had a robe on?
I didn't want you to mention it, but...
this nudie thing is not happening.
I know you think that, but my nipples are always this perky. You might notice the Christmas lights I've hung across them.
You know...
They're low voltage, but they keep you warm.
You know how you keep referring to my large penis?
I didn't for quite some time, but thank you for bringing it up.
Well.
Yes.
Well.
Yes.
One night.
Ken's penis is so big, it's got a ring of steel police checkpoint halfway down it.
Do you remember you and I, one night, we were at a Bucks party, and you, of course, bring it up and mention it, and the groom said, I've got a bigger one than Ken. And you said, let's have a competition. So he flopped his out. It's pretty big, wasn't it?
Oh, that's comedy. Sorry. Next time we hear from Ken, we'll get the end of that joke. But for now...
here's Maury.
And now it's time for Maury's Joke of the Week.
This parking officer died, and they were having his funeral, and as they were lowering the coffin into the ground of the parking officer, they could hear from inside the coffin, stop, I'm not dead, I'm not dead yet, stop, wait, I'm not dead. And the priest leaned over the coffin as it disappeared in the hole. He said, sorry, mate, but I've already done the paperwork.
And then you said... Ken, just take enough out to win.
Yes. Yes, that's true. That's true.
Now, what were you saying? You were going to tell me something.
And remember this guy when he got it out? He had a tattoo on the side of it.
Yeah.
That said, Wendy.
Yeah.
Right? And we said, what is that? And he said, it's, you know, the name of my wife, because it was, you know, he'd had it tattooed on the side. And I said, Ken, you've also got that. And he said, how come you've got Wendy? I said, no, that's when it's soft. Wendy's got a heart on it. It says, welcome to Victoria. We hope you enjoy your stay. All right. Now, I was doing, you're talking about like something cutting off a joke in the middle.
Yeah.
I had one of the hardest gigs in the world quite a long time ago in Sydney for the New South Wales Club Managers Association. Now, these assholes have seen every freaking act in the world and are the most jaded, bad, tough, wanting everything to be awful assholes.
Yes.
They were nice, but, you know, tough gig. And I was all tense about it and thinking, oh, I've got to hit them hard and, you know, and get them in the first 2 and 3 minutes and just go bang, 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 bang. And I said to the guy, now make sure nothing, you know, is distracting, like you've already had your main course and it's been cleared, and then get, you know, the girl to bring me on. And, you know, the MC was Shelley Craft from The Block. And she's bad luck for me. Every time I do a gig with Shelley Craft, something goes wrong. It's not her fault. It's just a thing. Anyway, Shelley Craft said, okay, you hope you've enjoyed your main course and dessert's coming up very shortly. But in the meantime, please welcome all the way from Melbourne, you know, because like, that was the thing. They were Sydney club owners, so they don't get many Melbourne acts, which is one of the reasons why they decided on me. And we're at the Four Seasons in Sydney. It was a big event, black tie thing. So I go, thank you very much, Shelley. And I'm standing in the middle of the dance floor, and I start with my very first joke, which was a good one.
Always a good one.
And I'm halfway through it, and the kitchen door bursts open, and I'm not shitting you, 12 waiters came out in a row holding a giant tray on their shoulders of Bomb Alaska with the sparklers already lit. So it looked like the Hezbollah were on their way to a bombing, right? And not only did they come out in 12, they all walked straight in front of me like a big parade. Yeah. So I'm behind a row of sparkling, distracting Bomb Alaskas. And, of course, because it's made of ice cream, you've got to eat it there and then.
That's right.
So it was just fucked. It was really... Anyway, that was a tough gig.
But I know you would have rescued that gig because you're...
I did rescue it somehow.
You're a consummate performer.
I like my consummate.
You're all round.
Clear soup.
Yeah. That's you're right. All-round entertainer.
I'm all-round, as you can see by my nakedness.
I told you, get in shape. You said round is a shape.
Yeah, it is a shape.
Yeah. Now, guess what we're talking about? Another one of your favourite movies today.
Did you like I Had a Butt Lift? I'll show you. I had a butt lift.
A butt lift?
Yeah, oh, yes. See? Look at that.
I thought you said a butt lick, and no. I was going to say, what's a butt lick? And you... No, that, that doesn't work.
No. Chuck Berry.
Turn around, show me.
I showed you.
That's great.
You like it?
Yeah. But now your bum hole is a little bit higher than
a
usual.
Little bit higher. So now when I poo, I have to undo my collar. You got to take the good with the bad. I like to be positive about these things.
And when you're wearing a colostomy bag for that.
Yeah.
Like a hoodie.
Yeah.
Oh, take that hoodie off in here. No.
It's tough. You try getting shoes to match a colostomy bag. It's tough. Shoes that change colour every time you eat something. Not so good.
Yes. Now, this movie, I think, is one of your favourites.
What is it?
I'm going to tell you something first.
No, you're going to tell me what the movie is.
I will tell you the name in a minute.
Is it something to do with true crime or nakedness?
Yeah, forgot about that.
There we go.
Forgot about that. Forgot about the true crime connection.
Ken's attention to detail. I'll change it. Continue. Too late now. All right.
There is crime in it.
Sure.
There is.
Yeah.
It's a kidnapping.
Okay, that'll do. Was it true?
Not true. We haven't even talked about your connection to the criminal world.
Go on.
Come on, give us a good one. A good story. One of your funny, famous stories with... criminals.
Come on, give us one of your true funny ones.
Someone gets killed or something. Go on, give us one.
Okay. This is true.
Yeah.
I promise it's true.
Yeah.
There was a guy called Tony who used to sell dim sims all around the South Melbourne, Port Melbourne area.
Were they illegal?
No.
Okay.
But he used to come around to the pubs with bags of dimmies and sell them. And people, they weren't even frozen. People would just buy it. They weren't hot, but they weren't frozen. So they were cold dim sims. Do you know what I mean? He'd made them and then put them in bags and then he'd drive around in his car, big plate, like you're buying ice.
For you to reheat them later.
That's the concept. But these days people would think, there's some sort of chance I might get Ebola out of eating completely unfrozen
they
but
were
cold.
Different times.
Different times, different people. We dropped like flies, but we never knew why. Anyway, he owned the dim sim world. Then there was this other dude from the western suburbs who decided that he wanted to expand his dim simmery and decided to come over and start selling in the same pubs. One of the pubs I was in was a very rough pub inhabited by a lot of very rough people, and they happened to let Tony know. And
you were playing.
I was playing at this pub, yeah. So I was good friends with Tony, and he came in one week and I said, oh, I heard there's someone else selling dim sims around here now. He said, you won't see him again. We had a conversation. And apparently they'd had a serious conversation. I don't know what had happened in the conversation, but a guy called Lloyd Barclay, who was a sort of an underworld figure back there in the late 70s,
yes.
I said to him, do you hear about Tony? Apparently he sorted it out with that bloke from the western suburbs about the dim sims. And Lloyd said, yeah, he sorted it out all right, but listen, I'll just give you a tip. Don't eat any of Tony's dim sims for a while.
Oh. True story. Reminded me, when my dad used to drag me down to the pub and you'd sit in the bar, local bar.
Red lemonade. Chicken chips.
Yeah, chicken chips. Sometimes someone would come in with plastic bags of dim sims, but they had soy sauce on them. Mm. You could buy three or four and they were hot.
Mm.
That's a memory, a lovely memory of my dad dragging me down to a pub. Thank you for that. All right, this movie cost $20 million to make. Only took $5 million at the box office.
We haven't even worked out what movie it is yet.
I'm giving you hints.
Oh, it cost $20 million and only made $5 million.
Directed by Robert...
Is it the Ken Murdoch story?
No. Directed by Scorsese.
Hmm.
No closer yet? Robert De Niro.
Okay, was it like... Mobsters or Gangsters or something it was called.
No.
Mean Guys. Mean Streets. Mean Average. Me and Bobby McGee.
If there were two trees and you were a dog, you'd be barking up the wrong one.
Oh.
Jerry Lewis is in it.
Jerry Lewis? Is that Jerry's brother?
No, Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis is in it.
Come on. Some of your favourite movies.
The one about Mr. Satto, not Mr. Satto, the comedian, and he's the talk show host.
Yes.
And Rupert Pupkin.
Pupkin.
And the movie is called, I forget. I'm sorry.
The King of Comedy.
The King of Comedy, yes. A very serious film. Not very dissimilar to The Joker.
Yes. In some ways. Yeah, it is some ways. You're right, actually.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it's one of the few movies where Jerry Lewis doesn't play a wacky guy.
No, a very good serious actor, Jerry
Lewis. And he's great in it.
He's actually, I've met him, and he's actually quite a serious dude.
Yes.
Like, he's not that nice.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that. But I did hear Sean McCaleb say that he got along famously with him for a week.
Mm-hmm.
But that was because they were talking about Jerry.
Mm.
So if you're talking about Jerry, Jerry likes you a lot. So in this movie, Rupert Pupkin is played by Robert De Niro. He's a failure in life.
Terrible.
But in his mind, he thinks he's a comedian.
Sandra Bernhardt's in it.
She is. She is. You think with her money, she would get some work done. That's a rough head.
Hey.
And
says the man.
Who are we to cast aspersions?
Yes, but, well, you. I'm not casting anything.
No, you're in there. But compared to...
I mean, I'm in there. Last time I saw a head like yours, a rabbi was operating on it.
So, anyhow, she's a lesbian.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with
that. Some of my best friends are lesbian. My father was a lesbian.
Is she funny?
Can be.
Well, funny lesbian. Hmm. Oh, we're talking Australia, weren't we? All right.
That was actually off mic we were having the conversation.
Oh, did I say that out loud then?
Yeah.
Hosting so he hosts an imaginary talk show in his mother's basement.
Hmm.
He's got, look, stop that. That's why your ears are going, because you're playing with the thing.
Dumb.
Stop that.
That's right. That's the best thing he said. The
You said she.
What?
I get it nude for you. You see, I'm not she.
Are you nude now?
Not yet.
Oh.
He has a lot of robes and bandages on.
I don't like it when he's angry, but when he goes nice, I love his little, oh, not yet.
Hmm.
Yes, Mr. Murdoch. I like that.
You like that?
Sweet. Very sweet.
Oh, yeah. He's got his soft side.
But when he turns, ooh.
he's got some kick. There's a sting in the tail.
Still nothing from Tony Katz, by
the way. Nice guys don't survive.
All right. We want you disrobing.
We want a lot of layers. Nude by the end of the show.
Don't put deadlines on me. I kill you.
All right. So.
God, man. That guy's serious.
Rupert Pupkin's.
Holy shit.
What? Oh, you've seen it.
I've seen it.
Is it?
Not so big.
Tripod?
Little bit.
I can't hear you whispering.
It's tiny.
I still can't hear you.
I can hear you.
Don't whisper.
I had operation.
He had a problem.
I can see it.
Mm.
Goodness me. All right, that's enough for the nude show now. You can put it back on. Put on your robe.
Okay. Put it on. Put it on. Putting it on.
I love when he makes those little notes. All right, so he loves Jerry Langford, played by Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Langford?
Yeah, he's got a TV show. He's Johnny Carson in this film. And he actually meets him when he's waiting for try and get an autograph. And there looks like there's going to be a bit of trouble. So Rupert pushes Jerry Lewis into the limo but hops in with him to kind of save his life. And, you know, Jerry Lewis saying thank you. And Pupkin's saying, if we ever see each other again, maybe we could get together. And he gives him a tape or something, which Jerry Lewis throws in the bin when he gets home.
Hmm.
But from now on, in Pupkin's head, he thinks they're best friends.
Mm.
So he likes this black girl, which is life imitating art.
Mm.
because Robert De Niro loves black women. So he says to her, we're going to go to Jerry Langford / Jerry Lewis's house. He's inviting us up for the weekend. So the girl can't believe this. Mm. She's like, you know, the biggest star in Hollywood, in America. Mm. So they get to the house and the Chinese doorman, butler, is there. And he says, Jerry's invited us up. And he goes, oh, Jerry's not here. Mr. Langford's not here. He's playing golf. He goes, oh, that's all right. We'll just come in and we'll get comfortable and get ready for, you know, we're staying the weekend. And he's freaking out, the little Chinese man. He doesn't know what's going on. So then Jerry Lewis comes back. And Rupert Pupkin goes, Jerry, how are you? And gives him a hug. And he goes, who are you? He goes, yeah, it's Rupert. We're friends. You've told me to come and see you if ever you're in town. And here we are. We, you know, thought we might stay the weekend. So by now, Jerry Lewis gets him thrown out, is about to call the police. Mm. The guy is embarrassed in front of the girl, goes home, very upset.
Sandra Bernhardt.
Yeah.
You don't want to get upset in front of Sandra Bernhardt.
You don't want to get upset in front of Robert De Niro because he was the man in Taxi Driver.
He was.
You talking to me?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
I don't see anyone else here.
That's right. Yeah.
You talking to me? And he had that mechanism with the gun.
Yeah. Pull your hand out. Out comes the gun.
Out comes the gun.
That was great.
On a little train track on your arm.
It took a lot of
I've tried that. You know what came out?
What?
A burrito.
A burrito.
I realized what it now mattered was not so much the track, but what you put at the other end of the track.
Yes, yes, that's
so
correct.
If you want a gun, you have to put a gun there.
Yeah.
I put a burrito there
because
I like burritos.
You know what I put?
What?
Hornsby 1968.
Nice.
Yeah.
The blue one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I could find it, I reckon I'd be worth a bit of money.
Yeah.
Was that the burrito?
No, that was the Hornsby.
All right,
actually, in the nude, I don't think I'd get a Hornsby.
So, Sandra Bernhardt, who's the other fan, the other obsessed fan.
Sorry, my ass is stuck to the chair.
Oh, get you some of that RP7.
Okay.
The Sandra Bernhardt says, well, you know, I love Jerry Lewis. It's behind the curtain. So what we should do, if you're in the room, we should kidnap him.
That's what you do.
Let's kidnap him.
Yeah.
Because I love him. That's what she
says. This is the crime you were talking about.
Yeah, this is the crime.
You weren't lying.
No, they kidnap him. And Rupert Pupkin says to him, we'll let you go if you can have me on the show as a guest. I just want to do a comedy little routine. Then I'll turn myself into the police. Everything. And he's saying, no, not going to happen, Jerry Lewis. So Pupkin has to go and he leaves him with Sandra Bernhardt, who tries to rape him, doesn't she?
Who wouldn't?
Yes. But luckily he's gaffer taped to the chair severely, like a mummy.
Yes.
So it'd be very, very hard to
get. I gaffer taped my mummy to the chair once. Boy. That didn't go well.
I bet. So anyhow, so Pupkin comes back and Jerry Lewis realises there's no way he's going to get out unless he lets him do the TV show.
Gaffer tape's hard.
Yeah. So they take the gaffer tape on him. They go to
They took it off him?
Yeah.
Did it sting? Because it hurts taking it off.
He goes, ow, a couple of times.
I'm not surprised.
They go to the TV station. He is. No, he doesn't. No, they don't get him out of the gaffer.
No.
No, he goes.
They wheel the chair.
Yes. And he gets on the phone. And says, let him do the comedy.
Yep.
Isn't that right?
Yep.
I think Burt Reynolds is the guest host.
Of course.
Yeah.
Who better?
Yeah. So
Dom DeLuise.
Now, here's the funny bit.
Yeah.
He does the comedy routine.
Yeah.
And kills.
Yep.
He goes really well.
Yep.
Then by now, the police have been called. They release Langford. Sarah Bernhardt's been arrested. Rupert Pupkin goes to jail. Fast forward to when he gets out, big celebrity because of his kidnapping, gets his own TV show, mate.
Oh.
Gets his own TV
show. And it's like life imitating art.
Yeah. No. What do you think about that?
What do I think about that? Well, I think that was lovely.
I got through the film.
RP7.
And
who says that? Who doesn't say WD-40? Who says RP7?
Why isn't it the same?
No, no, it's kind of. It's sort of like the Virgin Qantas thing.
What?
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 What? What?
What airline do you fly?
Me?
Yes.
I'm a Qantas man. Punjab, who do you fly?
Bangladeshi, wings over the world.
Bangladeshi Airlines. Not so good.
That'd be a good one. You sit on the wing.
Wing belts they give you. Yes. Outside toilets, not such a good plane. What's something about Bangladeshi Airlines, Punjab?
The business class passengers they're bothered by the people from economy who don't get food. They come up to beg.
That's terrible. That's no good.
Begging at first class?
Fasten your sellotape.
It's bad.
Fasten your sellotape.
Not so good.
All right, well, because it's a crime episode, have you got a crime story that involves a bit of nudity?
Nude crime story?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or could you just put someone in the story nude? Just see what happens.
Okay. Oh, I can't think of a nude crime story.
No, 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 just add that.
Add it.
Yeah. So I can't remember the story. The one of the guy running down the street. Remember that story?
Oh, Vinny the Shopper.
Could well be. Just throw a nude section in there.
Okay. So, all right. Okay. So, Vinny the Shopper, real guy, amazing shoplifter. Yeah. He was incredible. His modus operandi was to have a dust coat for every business.
Good.
So if you put it on, it was a big grey coat and it had the logo of the company that he wanted to steal from. So you had a lot of credibility. You look, you just come up from the storeroom.
Clever.
Very clever. And he was going into Buckley's in Bourke Street, yeah, which is now David Jones, but back then it was Buckley's. And he was stealing a rack of fur coats with his Buckley's dust coat on.
Right.
And one of the security guards have seen him. It's a big fat woman. Huge, yes, big blonde Sheila, and she has spotted him, and he's seen her, she's seen him, as he wheeled the rack of fur coats out the Bourke Street entrance, Little Bourke Street, into the lane. And she's spotted him, so he's let the rack go, and he's running up the street. Now he's about 60 and overweight himself, and she's following him, and they're running uphill, and they're both running out of gas real damn quick. And he's running for his life and she's running after him and not making any ground. And she's yelled out, "Stop that man!" And he said, "I'm not coming home." That's actually a true story. And then he passed a nude Bangladeshi in the gutter.
Why did you do... I'd kill you!
Sorry.
So to get out of being caught, he said, "I'm not coming home."
That's correct.
And it worked.
It worked. Nobody stopped him.
Fantastic. That's really fantastic. That's a true story. I went to a party, a small gathering, one Sunday afternoon, and there were some people that I didn't know. They're rough-looking guys.
Mm.
And the conversation went on and stuff about what we were doing, and he asked me, a musician and stuff, and he was one of those really nasty, you know, didn't have a nice bone in his body, but, you know, he was there and he was
having
drinks.
Did he have a humerus?
No, he did not.
No humerus.
No funny bone. So as I got drunker, as I was prone to do in those days, and everyone was talking about what they did, and he basically said to us, best not to ask what I do, being a tough guy. And someone whispered to me, he's been in jail for murder and robbery and, you know, all this.
So he's not very good at it.
No, obviously. And I said to him loudly in front of everyone, why do you have to kill people?
Mm.
And he looked at me like, you're my next victim.
Mm.
And they literally had to get me up, the rest of the people, and take me out of the house. He was so upset, like really upset.
Did he get cross?
He got cross.
He got cross.
Yeah, he could have killed me.
You don't know that. Well, because if he was any good at it, he wouldn't have gone to jail.
That's right. Well, that's right. But that's my only true dealing with crime, except that once we had
Who
a friend,
was it?
I don't know his name, but he was a scary man.
A bad story.
Yeah.
Good names.
I call him Gangster Head.
Gangster head.
Yeah, there's another guy who I can't tell you his name.
Yeah, you didn't know his name?
No, him I did know. He let my wife, was she my wife then? My second wife, not Vicky.
How many wives have you had?
Three.
Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah. Well, you got to get it practice till you get it right.
That would explain the nudity.
Yes. So he put a gun in our house upstairs.
Hmm.
And when I found out, I made them come and get it because I can't have a gun in the house. They're heavy guns, aren't they?
Is that a new rule?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. They're heavy guns.
We had guns everywhere in our house.
Sort of thing that you just. Why?
Everybody used to give Dad a gun. Mate, hang on to this. Mind or? Someone's going to, you know, yeah, someone's going to come around and try and hurt you. Yeah, I'll give you this gun. Hang on to this. And that'd be that. And Dad would go, yeah, sweet. And he'd put it in the cupboard or he'd put it under the floor or he'd put it in the wardrobe.
In the crib.
In the crib. Hold this. And I'm serious. When we were renovating the house after Mum went to God, we found about four or five guns that we had to take down to the police station and surrender them.
Really?
And you know how people put those old lead weights in the bottom of curtains to hold them down?
Yeah.
They were bullets. True story.
Wow. My friend bought a house in Essendon for $3 million.
Mm.
It belonged to a policewoman.
Mm.
That's who had it before. And they found two guns and seven bongs.
Why would you need two guns to shoot seven bongs? That doesn't make sense. Your story doesn't check out.
You liar! I kill you!
Put your clothes on and go home now.
All right.
See you next week.
Zip me up.